Good afternoon, everybody. What I want to share with you guys is just some of our work over the last 12 months through our quarterly children's book preview studies. We've talked to about 7,000 parents of 3 to 12-year-olds, so we're just going to concentrate on that age group for this analysis, trying to understand what is the key source for children's book discovery. So the books that they bought last for their children of that age group, where did they first learn about those books? So we're going to just drill down into that and hopefully give you some insights that will be very actionable and helpful for you as you move your businesses ahead. There's the schedule that we've been running on. We have, as I said, 4-year, a post-holiday program in February. We'll be going out with the next one shortly, a spring program in May, fall program in September, and then a pre-holiday one in December. So some of the results will be from the December 17th study, so less than a month old, so pretty hot off the press on that. Just to put discovery in context, we've done a lot of demand forecasting for books on a pre-pub basis, which has allowed us to basically put some actually measurements against how important different parts are of the publishing equation, and we've basically synthesized it down to really three main elements: discovery, conversion, and availability, all against the center reader target there. So discovery, very simply, do I even know the book exists? I may not want it, I may love it, who knows? It's purely the act of knowing the book is there. From there, conversion, once I see it, am I interested enough to browse it? Will I even remember it? Do I want to click through and hopefully acquire it as well? And then when I have conversion, is the book available in whatever format, whatever place, whatever venue I'm interested in taking it at that particular moment? So if you can solve for all three of those, you can sell a lot of books. If you miss any one of those three, it's a three-legged stool, it tips over, you won't get the sales response that you want or need or expect. So that's where discovery fits in based on all our research. And historically, in trade publishing, we've had a bit of a twofer. Every time we've had book availability, particularly in-store distribution, that creates automatic discovery for any book buyer who's going into that store. And so it took a little bit of a pressure off marketing. I used to be a marketing VP at the old Bantam AA Kids Division. And if we had a good laydown, a lot of my marketing team's work was already done. But as we move forward into the digital world, that two-for-one gets decoupled. Availability online does not necessarily provide discovery. And so it puts a much greater challenge on discovery in the digital age than we've ever had before. And so really over the last couple of years, marketers in publishing had to really go to school on discovery as a discrete problem to solve for. And it's been a real challenge in many ways. And if we don't do it, we're lost in the long tail. There are so many books out there online right now, it just boggles the mind. And so having a very focused program for discovery is really critical. So just for a little bit of background context, the physical store base is declined dramatically over the last 3 or 4 years. From our December study, looking at unit sales, we're looking at about a third of kids' book units coming from physical store, a little over 40% from online, and then another 26% or so from other book clubs, fairs, and non-online sources. In contrast, parents are almost 60% online. So the market has shifted tremendously away from the store base into the online universe over the last couple of years. But the digital piece is still an emerging story. So if we look at parents and children in terms of digital reading, and we only talk to people who bought a children's book in the last month. So these numbers may be a little higher than other numbers you've seen from Bowker, because this is sort of the core audience of book buyers for the market. Parents, just under 60%, kids at about 45% in terms of just doing any digital book reading at all. Doesn't mean they're doing it every day. They're doing it in typically some kind of mix in reading with print. But in terms of unit share, 30% unit share for the parents in ebooks, only 15% for kids. So the digital piece of the kids market is still emerging. It's still lagging the adult side for many of the reasons that you've heard about this morning. And the question is that gap going to close or not? So as far as discovery in the digital age for kids, we're probably, I'd say, maybe a couple of years behind the adult market in digital overall. Another important thing to consider when you're thinking about discovery in the kids' market is, how do kids read? And this is looking at the way kids are reading books at different ages. So we go from 3 years all the way up to 12. On the top is reading with somebody else, what we call buddy reading. So the reading to somebody, the reading with somebody, it's a shared activity. And so you can see, obviously, with the youngest kids, it's very important. 97% are doing that. And then it continues to be the dominant form of reading all the way through 7 years old. Assisted reading, reading with a little help from another person, peaks around seven and then falls off. And then you've got fully independent reading taking off from sort of 9 years old on. But when you're trying to reach this younger group, that dynamic of the child with somebody else, with an adult, with a parent, with a teacher, whoever it happens to be, is a very important thing when you're considering discovery, because it takes two people to play in that part of the market. So let's dig into it. This is a market share plot of book discovery from our December study. And it's basically answering the question, where did you find out about the book you bought last for your child 3 to 12? And so number one is what we're calling, and we'll go into a lot more detail on each of these individual categories, we're calling professional clubs and groups. So that's teachers, it's librarians, it's experts, it's book clubs, it's book fairs. So that's 28%. So that's the single largest source of children's book discovery for 3 to 12s. Next is my child. They're making a request based on things they've seen online, things they've seen on TV, things that they've heard from their friends, a whole host of different sources. Next is physical booksellers at 20%, then recommendations, and then online media and marketing. So that's websites, it's blogs, it's online video, it's a whole range of widely diverse different sources and channels. Online booksellers is only 5%. And that's been deficient both on the adult side and on the children's side. And there's clearly room for some significant improvement there. Publicity and then some other lesser categories like advertising and author marketing follow suit. So that's the big plot. About 12% is digital for the kids market as of December in terms of book bought last. And this is based on a sample of just under 1,800. So if you compare that with the adult side, same numbers on the kids' side. Of course, my kid doesn't play at all on that one. Recommendations from librarians, teachers, professors, only about 5%. Physical stores, pretty close at about 21%. That's actually up a bit since September. This is, again, I think some holiday buying. People are buying more physical books in the holidays for gifts. And so that's probably given the physical store number a bit of a boost. Recommendations are fully twice as important with kids' books. With adult books as with kid books. And then we get into online marketing, 11% versus 7%. Publicity, hugely more important in the adult side than in the in the kid side. News, reviews, interviews, things of that nature. And then online sellers go from 5% up to 7% for the adult discovery share. And that's based on, again, our December study. This is just under 6,000 adults buying for themselves. Then we compare boys and girls on the same measures there. Boys are a little bit more likely to be driving their own personal requests. Girls more coming from the sort of school library side, clubs and fairs, than otherwise. Pretty even on physical recommendations, a little bit stronger for the girls. And then by age, physical store is the single largest contributor to discovery for 3 to 5s. Again, it gets back to that being together. It's buddy reading. It's also buddy browsing. When you go with your child to the store, and you'll see some more data on this in a minute, you're much more likely to make the connection. You're much more likely as a parent to say, yes, this book is actually going to be something they're going to enjoy. They're going to really engage in it, not just something that they're going to put to the side. Then when you get to 6 to 9s, the school component really rockets up to fully a third of discovery. That's when they're really in the thick of trying to learn to read at school and getting graded on it, and books all of a sudden become their job in a way, as opposed to just a pastime or something that the parents were trying to promote. The store base continues to drop from 19 down to 15. And then as the child gets a little older, 10 to 12, it's much more their advocacy. I want this book. It's for me. I'm interested in it. And so you see a fairly big shift in terms of where the discovery is coming from over that period of time as they age. What I'm going to do now is just drill down into each one of those individual larger categories just to give you a sense of what's going under the hood there. So we'll go through that in sequence, starting with the largest contributor. So here you see book fairs at the top as the single largest contributor, pretty even for boys and girls. Again, this big spike in the 6 to 9-year-old group as they're really getting to grips with reading and being exposed to fair activity. Book clubs, fairly consistent. Teachers, much more influential with the 6 to 12s. And librarians kind of falling off in that older group in the 10 to 12s. In terms of book outlets, important to, you've already seen this information, but online sellers for children's books, 41% unit share, only 5% discovery share. There's a big gap here. This really needs to be solved for. Whereas physical stores, 33% share, 20% of the discovery. So on a pound-for-pound basis, you're getting a lot more discovery with in-store displays, in-store merchandising, hand-selling, all the different things that you get from the physical store equation. So this is kind of the uncharted territory. How does this get fixed? Because that's, as this continues to subside, that gap is going to get bigger, and we'll have fewer avenues to create new book discovery for kids' books. And part of the reason that we see the big difference is when you ask people why they went to a physical store, a book club flyer, online print seller, or an e-book seller, 53% of the time people are going into that physical seller, they're going to discover a new book that they are not familiar with. So it's a very active seeking out of new, interesting content there. Where they go into an online print seller, it's only 35%. They already know what they're going to get. So they're just there to close the deal and buy the book. Book club flyers, heavily skewed, about two-thirds of the activity coming from working with a flyer coming from school is discovery. It's new, it's stuff they're not familiar with. So that's a great driver of discovery. And then ebook sellers, just a little bit, much less actively participated in. This is the, I'm not using it or haven't visited in a while. So it's a smaller audience, but it has a better skew to discovery as well. So that's part of what's going on under the hood when you look at why physical stores are working so well. Now, we talked about buddy reading. This is, I guess, the buddy browsing side of that. So when we looked at the discovery share from people who bought online, or discovered online, excuse me, versus in-store, 10% of the discovery in-store is with the child, whereas only 2% of the discovery online is with the child. So there seems to be a gap there. There isn't that connection between the parent and child that says, okay, this is a book that we both like, and so we can both agree to get the book. And you see it again with 6 to 9-year-olds. A huge part of the in-store discovery piece is with the child. Again, very deficient in the online space, and it still remains very strong with the 10 to 12s as well. So the more we can create that link between the parent and the child in the browsing and discovery experience, I think the stronger the discovery is going to be. Next slide. So on recommendations, coming from friends of the parents, coming from other parents, child's friends, and parent groups, it's strongest for girls, as we saw before. Other parents seems to be a big driver here. So to the extent they may not be, you know, necessarily your best friend, but you're carpooling, you know, you're swapping homework notes, you're, you know, whatever it happens to be, and particularly in the 3 to 5s, it falls off in the 10 to 12s and becomes much more sort of a friend-driven or the child friend there. When we've looked at recommendation in detail, how did you get the recommendation? This is from our adult work in September. We thought a lot of it was going to be more through social networking and more digital access. Turns out about 4 out of 5 personal recommendations received for a book as a discovery source are face-to-face, just talking with your friends in the hallway, you know, on the subway, you know, whatever it happens to be. And then we have a whole smattering of other different delivery systems in addition to that. Social media, about 5% of the total pie, phone, email, what have you. But recommendations remain very much a sort of a contact sport. You're doing it with somebody face-to-face. And we suspect that's probably the same thing with the parents on the kids' side. Online, a whole host of different avenues, no one really dominating. So, you know, looking at the search at the top, favorite author website, parenting sites, reader reviews, kid reading sites, social networks, social sharing sites like Pinterest and similar sites, Goodreads. No one is really sticking out as being this sort of the lead avenue. But you do see parents of the younger 3 to 5-year-olds more actively looking to discover through these channels online, and then it falls off as the child begins to age. So, you know, apparent sightings is about the biggest here, and then search are probably sort of the two biggest pieces. But in El Queso, they're really sort of a dominant source of discovery through for this market. This you certainly can't read. I just put this up here to show, you know, the volatility of, you know, how all these different websites that kids visited in the last week sort of bounce around. So PBS Kids starts at 24% kids viewed it in the last week for the youngest, drops to 18, and then it goes off the map. Google starts down at 9% to 16, up to 36. YouTube, I think it's even actually on the list here. It starts right up at 26. When you get to 6 to 9, it's up to 43%. So it's very dynamic, depending on the age of the kid and their interests. You have to really track this pretty carefully to make sure that you're using the right venues to attract the child's attention. Lastly, we touched on conversion. And the only thing I want to say about conversion is discovery without conversion doesn't generate revenue. So I could have 1 million shoppers know about my book, but if my conversion rate is only 0.2%, I've only sold 2,000 units. On the other hand, if I can double my conversion or even more, then I get into some really interesting unit sales. So we spend a lot of time talking about discovery, but I don't want people to think that that's going to solve the problem. You have to do both. And conversely, conversion without discovery isn't a whole lot of fun either, because you may find the book fascinating, but nobody knows about it, and you're still not going to generate any revenue from that either. So don't forget conversion. And so just to wrap up, discovery for this age group is very much a shared activity. So the more you can think of strategies to bring the two together to make that apparent-child common ground, the greater the success. School is still, we think, the greatest discovery resource, because that's where it's being encouraged. That's where books are really being promoted aggressively. That's where the larger share of book discovery is taking place right now. The bookstore, pound for pound, is still incredibly powerful, but we're losing it. We're not supporting it aggressively. We're putting an awful lot of resources onto the digital side, but we haven't found the digital solutions in discovery to fill those gaps yet. So, you know, I really encourage people to make sure you mind the store and don't lose sight of the fact that the bookstore is, in fact, the theater where all these great things can happen in a very efficient way. Online, we need new e-tailing strategies. Online merchandising isn't generating the kind of levels of discovery that we need to fill that store decline gap. And then lastly, focus also on conversion, because that's where the revenue comes to play. Discovery by itself isn't going to do the job alone. So that's what we're finding out about the kids market and talking with parents of 3 to 12s. Lorraine, do we have time for questions, or are we okay? Any questions? Okay, we're good. Thank you very much.